Good morning, everybody. Representative Steve Draskowski here today. I'm here today to talk about a discovered, massive, unmitigated, systemic voter fraud that's happening in Minnesota. As many of you know, over the last 2 years, I have been involved in researching, learning about, and exploiting the fraudulent behavior of Representative Omar in the areas of campaign finance, where there was a complaint with the Minnesota Campaign Finance Board, actually two of them, in which she was found guilty on multiple accounts of violating Minnesota law, and she ended up having to pay the money back. I have been in pursuit and sharing of the fraud that she has committed in the area of marrying her brother, which includes tax fraud, which includes marriage fraud, student aid fraud, and others. Because of the work that I've done over the last couple of years with that, people all around Minnesota and around the country were aware of that. What that ended up bringing is I ended up with calls from people in the city of Minneapolis that were concerned about voter fraud. And according to them, they believed that Representative Omar was the center of this. So I met with these individuals, a number of them, back late 2019 and early 2020, and met with them multiple times.
Can you hear me yet? Because I'm already getting messaged.
Okay. Are we okay? So, I met with them multiple times. I learned more about the things that they are bringing forward. I was actually very skeptical at first, and the more I talked to them, became confident that what they were saying had validity to it, or potential for validity to it. During those 2 years, I've also been in touch with the FBI about the other fraud allegations for Representative Omar. I met with the FBI as well last spring about what I was learning from people in Minneapolis, including members of the Somali community, who are concerned about the integrity of their elections, about how their people were being treated by people in different campaigns during 2018, because as it was shared with me, this history goes back to 2018 and even 2016. Some of the pay-for-vote schemes that they shared with me were very compelling. So I met with the FBI, shared many of those things with them back early this spring, and at that point, wasn't really sure whether the FBI was going to go forward and do the work. And it was the election division of the FBI that I talked to. Wasn't really sure whether they were going to do the work or not, because certainly I hadn't gotten the level of traction from them that I expected or hoped for in the past. So at that point, I reached out to and contacted Project Veritas and proceeded to meet with their people. And they brought their people, came to Minnesota, met with me and the folks from Minneapolis that I had been meeting with multiple times, shared the very same information with them. They too found it compelling and were interested in what this was all about and would like to, were interested in proceeding forward. When we got close to the primary election, actually during early voting back in June, late June, I was hearing, and the first thing I was hearing about some of the same things that were described to me in 2018 from people in Minneapolis. And included there was a video that was shared on Facebook. And it's not the one we saw last night, but it's a different one that was shared on Facebook. And it was an individual really crying out to members of then the Somali community, asking them to not participate in the voter fraud schemes that this person saw going on. And so that gave me even more confidence in the validity of the information that these people were sharing with me. later, days later, the video that was kind of the core of the video that Project Veritas highlighted last evening was shared with me at that time. And by the way, members of the media, I have the original video. It was recorded on the 7th of July in Minnesota, in Ward 6 of Minneapolis. And so if there's questions, and I've heard people in the media, you know, of course, there's always another side to a story, questioning Project Veritas and where did this video come from and was it doctored and all kinds of things like that. I can tell you, I have the original video. I'm willing to send it to any member of the media that is willing to post it in their story. It's the original unedited video. Some of it, Mr. Liban talks, or Mr. Mohammed, Liban Mohammed, speaks both in English and Somali, going in and out from one language to another. So I have that video and am willing to share it with you if you're willing to post it as part of your story to see what the original video looked like. So anyway, when I saw that video and heard about that video, I again contacted Project Veritas. They were very interested in being here right away. They showed up in Minnesota and have been in Minnesota here since. And so that's really kind of the fundamental thing I'd like to lay out this morning. There's some other things I'd like to share too. That is, there's kind of three pieces to this, and there's going to be more segments coming forward from Project Veritas over the next week that will share some of the other elements. One is a real complex, widespread ballot buying scheme. Again, I mentioned back in 2018, that was very widespread. We saw it again, at least the reports that I heard repeatedly from people in the community. Between $100 and $200 per vote, paying people to vote. That was the scheme from 2018. It was told to me. It was repeated again this time. And then that's in addition to the ballot harvesting scheme that we heard about in the video last night. Additionally, there were irregularities at the polling locations that allowed these illegal ballots to be counted. That are probably going to be part of what Project Veritas is sharing or will be sharing. Now, I haven't seen exactly what they've produced, but I've heard a lot of elements, and really that's where we're at. At this point, I am begging Attorney General Barr and Secretary of State Steve Simon to act. The integrity of our elections here in Minnesota and across the country are fundamental to the integrity and future of our republic. We need to act quickly. The election's coming close. I sent a letter this morning calling on Secretary Simon to lock down and freeze absentee balloting in Minnesota till we can get to the bottom of this. It's never a bad time to get to the bottom of this, and that starts right now. So I'm asking him to do that. I'm asking AG Barr to conduct a federal investigation on these federal elections, and also calling on the Minnesota House and the Minnesota Senate to conduct full hearings on these issues that we have heard about last night and the ones that will be forthcoming in nights ahead. With that, I can tell you that in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, we have some very brave and honest individuals that want the integrity of our elections and the integrity of our republic, the integrity of the state that they live in, to be returned to what it needs to be in order to be a strong state and country. So I think we need to give thanks to people who've been brave, people who have been honest, and people who want the integrity of our elections restored. And I can't talk about that enough. The exploitation of elderly people in Minneapolis, elderly people, which I'm told, by the way, a large, very large number of them don't speak English and don't read English either. And so they are being exploited by these criminal elements in Minneapolis. And thank you to the members of the Somali community and other people in Minneapolis who have stepped up to help us bring integrity back to our elections and to our state here in Minnesota. With that, I will open up for questions. Margaret, I'm going to rely on you to maybe monitor the questions here.
Yes, basically, if you guys could raise your hand on the Zoom, that way we have quite a few people on this call this time. So that's what I would ask you to do if you have questions.
I'm on the call. This is John Cromer from Care 11. Maybe you don't have me in your view.
Yeah, we have you.
I see you, John.
Okay. Representative Drazkowski, looking at the video, are you certain that those are actual ballot envelopes and not ballot request form envelopes?
I'm certain, and Liban told you he was certain. He said that he had 300 in his car and that all of them were filled out for his brother, Jamal Osman.
Have you had any conversations with Jamal Osman to see if this is really his brother or if this is, if he was telling the truth about the 300?
I have not. What I would like to see is a response from our elected leaders. Tina Smith, why haven't we heard from you? Where is Governor Walz on this? Ken Martin, Keith Ellison, the silence is deafening. We need Democrats in this state to join in with everyone else and bring integrity back to the elections here in Minnesota. So, John, that's what we need to have happen. Again, I'll share the original video. Mr. Liban is not shy about sharing. Liban Mohammed is not shy about sharing. He was boasting to other campaigns about how inadequate he thought they were and how good his campaign was. By the way, his brother Jamal Osman won the election, John. And so he was boasting about it and not afraid to share it. He shared it widely. As a matter of fact, on Twitter this morning, he posted that he was really excited to see that he is now famous.
Representative Brian Baxter, what were you hearing from the FBI, or what weren't you hearing that led you to go the second route of bringing in the Project Veritas folks?
Well, Brian, it was just, I met with the FBI over the last couple of years prior to this spring. I met with them two other times as well. And I wasn't satisfied that they were actually doing anything. And of course, the FBI wouldn't tell you what they're doing. And they'll tell you that. They'll tell you, if we're doing stuff, you're not going to know, or we're not going to tell you. But, you would at least expect you'd hear something. And then in my meetings with them, oftentimes I would get responses about, well, that's not solidly our area or something like that. So I wasn't certain they were going to act. And I still don't know to this day whether they have acted throughout this election. As I mentioned, I shared the Liban Mohammed video with them before the primary election. I also shared photos that were obtained in the same ward in the voter locations and other places. And I shared names of bad guys that were alleged bad guys at this point that were shared with me by people, names and phone numbers. So I shared information with them repeatedly over and over again. And I really didn't. I would get a thank you, received, that type of thing. And that's about what I would get. So again, to their defense, if they're doing something and maybe they've got this wrapped up and ready to go, and maybe we'll see indictments or something tomorrow, I don't know. But I wasn't satisfied that that was starting to happen. And at this point, as I look back, I'm not sure that it has.
And do you know if Mr. Mohammed was working directly for the Ilhan Omar campaign or paid or employed by? There's the insinuation in that video, but is there direct evidence?
No, not that I'm aware of. Of course, there's more videos to come. I don't have direct evidence. I think everybody takes from that video. All I've got is what is in the video and I've watched it numerous times. And all I can gather from that is that he works for his brother's campaign. With that, Brian, and I'm going to leave this to people in the Somali community because they know about this. I don't know anything about clans, but people I talk to in the Somali community stress over and over again that the clan of individuals is important, and they even suggest that Ilhan Omar is attempting to populate different offices with members of her clan. That's what they tell me. Now, I would encourage you to talk to them about that because, again, I don't know a lot about that.
Representative, this is Scott Peterson with the Minnesota News Network. The DFL party is out with a statement saying Project Veritas is a discredited far-right propaganda outfit known for lying, entrapment, and breaking the law. I wanted to get your response to that.
I think that's probably what you'd expect from the Minnesota DFL. And I'd also encourage you to stay tuned because the people I talk to in the communities suggest that the DFL is very aware of what's going on here and has been for some time. And I've seen evidence to support it.
Representative Drazkowski, the video refers to these cash payments by somebody who was a deputy campaign director for Omar. Do you have any direct evidence of these cash payments for ballots?
John, I think one of the upcoming episodes is probably going to cover some of that. I don't have any direct evidence, no. I haven't been part of the production that Project Veritas has done. And my role has been bringing people together and attempting to coordinate this as much as we can. I brought resource people together. I brought organizations together and the investigation went forward. The photojournalists have done their job. And I think you'll probably see some of that up and coming in the nights to come.
Hey, Representative Brianna of the Star Tribune. It sounds like there was a period during, it sounds like you have the original video, which you said was July 7th. There was a period during the primary where a district court had invalidated the limit, and that wasn't reversed until after the primary. So it sounds like there could have been a period in there where people could have possibly returned more ballots. Do you happen to know if this was during that period based on the evidence that you've seen?
Yeah, we're still trying to sort that out, Brianna. It's important to note, it's fundamentally important to note that these ballots were opened. Most of them that I've seen in the video, and you can review it, were opened. And as a matter of fact, Mr. Mohammed actually says in the video that all of them are filled out for Jamal Osman. And so that matches what we hear in the field, and I've heard in the field from people you saw the video. They're talking about, you know, a very advanced canvassing operation that happens in many of these large apartment buildings, and they go and convince, oftentimes use fear to scare people into giving up their ID and taking pictures of their ID, cataloging in a database. And it's reported then that the campaigns fill out the absentee ballot applications for them, and they return in the number of days that they expect the ballots are going to show up. They return and get the ballots through coercion, whether that's by fear or force, I don't know, or money. I've heard money is used as well. Those are the things that have been reported to me. I can only assume from the information that I have seen in front of me that what I'm being told in the community is matching what what Liban has in his video, that's the culmination of it right there in the video.
Representative Tom Hauser sent me a note saying his audio is not working, but he wanted to ask how widespread you think this is. Do you think it's statewide or just confined to a single ward in the fifth?
No, I think it's certainly more than one ward in the fifth for sure. Ward six and eight for sure, and probably more. In addition to that, Liban Mohammed suggested that he had 300 ballots. That was from one day. And that was one day during early balloting before the primary election. And I haven't counted up the number of days between, you know, that early balloting happens, but that's just one day. Also, there's elements that have been, that we have heard in past elections, Tom, you're not here, but Tom, in past elections, we have heard that that people have come in from outside of specific localities and voted. And it was reported in this election to me over and over, it was represented that people were coming in to vote and who didn't live in the precinct or didn't, and they actually received benefits or housing or other things in different areas, in different cities in the state. I don't know. I haven't seen the similar things happen in Rochester or St. Cloud or other large metropolitan areas or even rural areas. Certainly there's a large question about whether it has.
Could you speak a little bit more to your request of the Secretary of State to suspend all absentee balloting? Seems like it's a pretty blunt tool to what seems to be a localized issue. Even in your own telling, it's a couple precincts in Minneapolis.
Well, Brian, we've got statewide elections, several of them in this general election, including the presidential election, a U.S. Senate election. I guess we have two, right? And we've also got congressional elections. We're talking about 300 ballots that happened in the primary on one day. Now, ostensibly, we're looking at thousands of ballots that were taken from elderly people, many of which might have been deceived in the transfer of that unmarked ballot to those individuals. We're talking about thousands of ballots that are exploiting these elderly people, disenfranchising them of their vote, and allowing people like Liban Mohammed to vote 300 times in a day. Now multiply that times the number of days to the election and multiply that again if there are other actors doing the same thing. We need to be very, very concerned. And I'm concerned that we have policy. Our own Secretary of State has attempted to relax voting regulations. He's actually, and others have in past legislatures, attempted to and successfully relaxed voting regulations here in Minnesota. And now we are seeing the vulnerability being exploited in those very, very bad decisions.
Steve, Representative Drazkowski, did you obtain the Instagram video from Liban on your own and then provide it to Project Veritas, or was it the other way around? They provided it to you?
John, there were neither of the above. There was an individual citizen, a Minnesota citizen, who is not me or Project Veritas, who received the video. There are some very honest and courageous people in Minneapolis that want this problem fixed and they want the bad actors stopped. Liban Mohammed needs to be in jail. And they, in their brave efforts, Liban Mohammed put this video out on Snapchat and he thought it was going to evaporate in 24 hours. And some brave people grabbed it and put it in a different, copied it and made it available.
So Representative, so to follow up on that question, so these brave people recorded it and saved it somewhere else, and then did they give it to you, and then you called Project Veritas, or is it that they got hold of it before you did? Sorry, I just needed some clarification.
Well, I don't know that it's important, but I did not obtain the video from Project Veritas.
And so, Representative,
I'm willing to share the original captioned video with you, as long as you include it in your story.
And I'm so sorry if you went over this earlier in the press conference. I did hop in a few minutes later. But could you just kind of go over again what you knew about Project Veritas before you had contacted them, and whether you knew about their operations and what they have been doing, I guess, for the past 2.5 months or almost 3 months now?
Yeah, Sharon, actually, I contacted them early this year you may want to review the press conference when we're done here. But I contacted them because I knew about their ability to get in and capture video of realities like I expected we were going to see in front of us in the primary election. Because I was convinced, after hearing corroborated evidence from many, many different people over several different, two different elections for sure, but several different locales, that this is what we were going to expect. So being convinced of that, I asked them to come, and they did.
Representative, can you say, do you know if the video was edited at all before it got to you or to whoever it got to? And can you say any more about the source of the video? I mean, I'm just curious if, in terms of who these individuals are, it sounds like you don't want to out them, but can you tell us any more about where this could have come from?
I cannot. The original creator of the video is Liban Mohammed.
Could you clarify, Steve, was this an Instagram story or was this a Snapchat video?
I was told that it originally was a Snapchat video. Any other questions? Okay, thanks everybody. I hope everybody has a great week. Thank you.